Arrow Precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Arrow Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. We hope you enjoy this reloaded version.
All right. Glad that you're still with us. I'm Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk. We're going to be talking about, well, an awful lot of different things. Well, because we call it gun talk. If you have a rifle or a pistol or a shotgun you want to know something about, or you want to just share the information, we're here for you. Basically, we just kind of sit around the old camp stove here, and we shoot the breeze, ask questions of each other. Sometimes I have answers. A lot of times I don't. I call for help. Sometimes I make them up. It's up to you to figure out when that is. Not really. Okay. If you want to be part of this, just give me a call. 866-TALK-GUN. If you miss a show, don't forget that you can always pick up Gun Talk as a podcast. If you go to Gun Dealio, that's our website, Gun Dealio, G-U-N-D-E-A-L-I-O, GunDealio.com. You can download our smartphone app, either on Android or iPhone. Put it on your phone, and you can listen. Of course, you can do it wherever you get podcasts as well. Listen to the Gun Talk podcast. And we have the radio show as well as some others, because we talk about shooting and guns and self-defense and pretty much anything revolves around going bang. And we talk about training and going to really interesting places, and I love going and getting more training. One of the cool places we go, and we've been there a number of times, is the FTW Ranch. Oh, it's 2.5 hours or so north of San Antonio, in deep in the heart of Texas. Joining me right now is the head honcho over there. Tim Fallon joins us. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you? Thanks
for having me. Well, I am well. You're probably well into bluebonnet season now.
We are, yeah. They're coming up everywhere. It's a beautiful time of year.
It is gorgeous over there. I drove over to Pflugerville and back a couple of weeks ago, and it was really popping, so... Yeah, that's really something. So, first of all, people are going to say, okay, what is FTW Ranch? And you get that all the time. What is it? So, what's your Cliff Note version? How do you tell people what to do there?
Well, I purchased the ranch in 96 with the intent of raising, you know, endangered species from around the world that are no longer huntable and or extinct, where they're indigenous from, actually. But they have to do well in the rugged mountains. And with the intent of having some sort of a, which has grown to a behemoth of hunter training program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, Tom, I've hunted around the world, started in the early years, and there was no, at the time, no hunter training program. You could go to a few other places and, you know, shoot their guns and shoot 1,000 yards, woohoo.
Right.
But that's not hunter training, as you well know.
No.
So I finally moved out here full time in 2004. We launched the program in 2005, and that's called the SAM program, SAAM. And today it has 35 active ranges and for to simulate all kinds of hunting and shooting scenarios. And,
By the way, SAM stands for Sportsman's All Weather, All Terrain Marksmanship. In other words, getting out there and doing it.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, 12,000 acres. We're talking about like 18 square miles or more. Crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of property. It's perfect for what we're doing with it.
All right, so people say, well, I want to come out there and learn to shoot long range. And then the question becomes, what is long range, right?
Right.
Well, you know, and you and I think, are actually on the same wavelength on this whole deal of, it is great fun to shoot steel targets at 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 yards, if you can hit them. I mean, that's just a hoot because it's hard, right?
Yep. It is. It comes with a lot of challenges and a lot of skill sets required. But yes, Tom, thankfully you and I are on the same page. We're not big fans of this long-range hunting stuff that you see. You know, look, to be a little politically correct, we call long-range hunting shooting past your capabilities, and that's really an important statement to make.
Hmm.
You know, if I'm the world's best shot with the world's best gear and the right caliber to hunt that animal that I'm taking a shot at, you know, your shooting maximum might be 700 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't met that person yet, because it is the hunter's job to kill the animal in one shot. I mean, that's their job. And that's an ethical statement, that's an important statement in the hunting world, in my opinion. we get enough bad press. We don't need more by wounded animals.
So wait. You said you haven't met the person who can always make the 700-yard shot. I'm seeing people on YouTube that are making shots a lot longer than that.
Well, they're doing it generally on much bigger plays. But we treat the world, as depending on the animal, as a 6 or 9-inch kill zone.
Okay.
So we have yet to, in every environment, you know, wind, condition, temperatures, et cetera, angle, what have you, every variable that goes into a shot in the hunting world, we've yet to meet the guy that, you know, that would say, that would, and we train 150 military snipers a year here.
Mm-hmm.
We've yet to meet the person that can say, yeah, I'd make that shot every time. No, they don't. We've never seen it.
Right.
I can't do it.
And therein lies the whole point is, are you 100% sure that you're going to make that shot? And here's the thing. I'm just going to tell you, there are people right now who say, I can 100% make a shot at 800 or 900 yards until they go out to your course and try it at different angles, at different winds, at a lot of times, you know, distances where they don't know, unknown distances, and they start doing it and realizing, oh, I actually do not hit that all the time with the first shot. Maybe I can't do that.
Right.
Well,
you've been through the course several times.
Yeah, you take them out to where they can't hit, and then bring them back in and figure out where they can.
Exactly. You know, if we got a guy or gal that's come in here with a new weapon system and made by somebody, and they were taught that they can shoot an elk at 700 yards, we simply have them shoot a 9-inch plate at 700 yards, and they have to call their own wind. And about the third shot, after they've missed all three times, they look around and go, okay, I get it. I got it. I'm a 300-yard shooter. And that's great.
And I got to say, and there's nothing in the world wrong with that. I routinely say, and, you know, you got people say, look, I'll take a shot 500, 600, 700 yards. And I say, you know, 400 yards is really stretching me on any given day. If it's all right, if I feel good about it, when I'm behind a gun, I'm sitting there and going, okay, I can do this. But there are going to be a lot of conditions where I say, I can't pull the trigger on an animal at 400 yards.
Yep. Absolutely. That's very true.
What do we owe the animal?
Tom, as you know, let me just add one thing. You know, when you get here, depending on your optics and your gun and caliber and so forth, we'll build as long as a 700-yard card. Most cards we build are 500. But in any case, if a guy's shooting a 300 Win Mag, 7 Mag, you know, 300 Weatherby, whatever, you know, a longer, capable, still-killing, energy-type gun, we'll build him a 700-yard card simply because if a guy's leaving here and going on a Marco Polo hunt, where last five-year average on that sheep hunt has been 550 yards,
wow,
you better be making 700-yard shots because 550 is sort of a chip shot like any good golfer would make, right?
Mm.
So, but by the time we get done with them shooting at 7, 8, even 1,000 yards just for fun, they get it. They fully get it and go, man, I hope I'm that lucky guy that my average shot's only 500 yards on that Marco Polo hunt.
Yeah,
really. It's tough.
It is. And then you get into things like time of flight. If you're shooting something 800 or 900 yards out there, you can actually have an animal take a step and ruin everything while the bullet's in flight.
Right. Exactly.
It's great. All right, so here's a. I don't even know how you answer this one, but what do we owe the animal as hunters?
Well, I think the right answer is we owe it honor and respect, and if we're going to harvest an animal for food, which we do, it deserves to die instantly. It's that simple.
Fair enough. That works for me. All right, here's a question for you. I mean, you got some of the best shooters, best instructors anywhere. You got, you know, former SEAL snipers and everything else. How much has equipment changed over the last 15 years, and has it helped?
Oh, Lord. Tom, you know, we were just talking about that the other day. It has come in the 16 years we've been running this course, it has come like from jet engines to rocket engines. It's just been incredible. The optics have improved at least 100-fold. And I'm talking about not only the clarity of glass, but I'm talking about accessories on scopes, holdover reticles, extremely handy, accessible turrets. You know, in the old days, you always had to unscrew the cap and
right.
and dial a turret that never had any clicks to it, and then you had to bang it with your bullet like the old-timers.
Oh, yeah. And now we've got
just included myself in the old-timers, yeah.
The mechanical reliability of the adjustments.
Absolutely. It has come so far. But I'll tell you what's also fun. There's two other things. We see factory guns today that are unbelievably accurate shooters. Whereas in the old days, you normally had to buy a factory gun, usually a Remington Action, which is kind of the base for any standard, you know, custom gun.
Right.
And you had to turn around and spend a few more $1,000s on it. And not because Remington didn't make good guns. They made a great gun. But today's expectation from the shooters is, you know, in the old days, a 2-inch group was just fine at 100 yards.
Right.
Not today. They want bullets touching.
Mm-hmm.
And the factories are doing it. They literally are. And I mean some all the factories. I can't name one that's not capable or not doing that pretty regularly.
And the ammo, factory ammo is so good now.
And here's the funny part, and I'm probably going to get in trouble by saying this, Tom, from the listener, but today the ammo companies are driving the gun business. In the old days, well, look at it this way. Look how many new calibers Nosler has produced that are pretty darn successful. But what's interesting is, look at what, let's say, Hornady and Swift and Sierra have done with new bullets and the capabilities with ballistic coefficients on those bullets, and and they're still good killing rounds in many cases. Good grief. Now it's resurrecting old calibers. We're seeing more 30-06s today than we used to see 15 years ago.
Hey, Tim, let me get you a hold of a second. I'm going to take a quick break here. When I come back, I want to talk about, you know, if you had to take somebody and say, look, here's the two or three things that you really need to know about connecting on a game animal out at some distance. What are you going to tell them? We're talking with Tim Fallon from the FTW Ranch. Check it out, FTWSAM. That's FTWSAAM.com. We'll be right back.
Whether mounted on your gun, in your pocket, or in your glove box, a quality flashlight can be a lifesaver. Count on Surefire's illumination tools to defend you and your loved ones when it matters most. Designed, engineered, and precision machined in the USA for more than 40 years, Surefire is the ultimate in performance and reliability. Go with the proven performer. Go Surefire.
Visit guntalk.com/win to win one of seven prizes: the Benelli Super Black Eagle 3 shotgun and a case of Remington hypersonic steel, or a case of Remington 9mm ammo and Axel earbuds, the Sky DVG-1 pistol, $200 at Galco holsters and Axel earbuffs, or a $200 Galco gift card and Axel earbuds. You have until August 27th to enter at guntalk.com/win.
Carry comfortably without sacrificing capacity with Smith & Wesson's M&P Shield Plus. Designed for concealed carry, the M&P Shield Plus offers a 13+1 extended magazine or a 10+1 flush mount magazine. In a slim, micro-compact frame, the M&P Shield Plus 9mm is offered in a variety of configurations, including performance center models with optics cuts, upgraded sights, and more. The Shield Plus. Find yours at smith-wesson.com.
All right, we're back. Talking with Tim Fallon from the FTW Ranch. Tim, before we get into the kind of the tips you would offer people, we were starting to talk about all the gear out there, and you mentioned cartridges and bullets. We have several new cartridges. And I am, you know, kind of like you, old school, been around, seen a lot of cartridges come along. And when these things started popping up, I'm thinking, oh, God, we don't need more cartridges. I mean, what's the deal? It's like, you know, 6.5 Creedmoor. I'm going, really? We had the 6.5 by 55 for 100 years. Do we really need this? And then you shoot it for a while, and you're going, huh, there really is something to this. They're doing some great stuff these days.
Yeah, they really are. And I mentioned Nosler's new calibers. Good Lord, they look at Hornady. Geez, oh, Pete. And,
yeah,
and extremely successful.
Oh, I just got a 280 Ackley improved just because I like the whole idea of it with an 8.5 twist barrel. And you're going, you know what? That'll work.
Yeah. It's technology's come a long way.
It really has. All right, so if you're going to tell somebody, look, here's a few things you need to know, whether it's equipment, technique, or a mindset, what are you going to tell them?
Whew, Tom, that's a good one.
Okay.
If you're still talking on the equipment side.
No, it could be anything. You know, and I know we usually do this with a drink in our hands, okay? So, you know, I hate to catch you early in the day, but, you know, usually we're having this discussion at the bar. That's okay. But, yeah, it's like you go, all right, I'm going to take somebody who's not done this, and I need to say, look, here's a couple or three things you need to know about shooting at a game animal at 300 to 400, maybe even 500 yards. What are you going to start them off? Just say, these are the areas you really need to know about.
Where to begin? Well, as you know, in the school, it's a crawl, walk, run. That's how we approach everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the most important thing is we start everybody out with their own gear. You know, we're not here to sell you something. We're here to train you. And we start them out at 100 yards, and we show them different positions and different techniques. But having a stable shooting platform is the most important thing of all, honestly. So, you know, my number one answer to that, Tom, would be training. Just be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I mention that is it is shocking to us, and we train, you know, 600 people a year. It is shocking to us how many people go on a massively expensive hunt or difficult hunt. And literally, they may be in great physical shape, but they shouldn't be shooting past 200 yards, and they're going on a sheep hunt.
Ooh.
And they don't think it all the way through. And then so hunt preparation, first of all, booking the right hunt for you,
mm-hmm.
and thinking in small crawl, walk, run terms and making sure you have the best gear by asking lots of questions or coming to a school
mm-hmm.
and know you're ready. That's the most important thing you can do, I think.
Are most people not shooting much or don't know how to shoot? Do they not practice?
I'm going to throw out a number, and it's somewhat of a swag.
Sure.
But there are several rules here from the students we see. Women almost always shoot best.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they listen.
Yes.
And they don't have what we call the John Wayne complex. I can't tell you how many times we get a husband and wife in here, and the husband's around rolling his eyes. He doesn't need to be here. He's been there and done that. But women are smart. She's going to start hunting, and she wants to get properly trained.
Okay.
And by day two, she is smoking him. I mean, it's almost pathetic.
And every shooting school, every shooting school says that exact same thing.
Yep. So I think a lot of hunters don't realize the need until they go on a hunt and wound an animal or miss an animal after they've worked for a week trying to get onto that trophy mm-hmm. and his quarry and blow the shot. And that's funny you say that because that's our sales cycle. So, Tom, as you know, we do a lot of the shows, Dallas and, you know, several of the others, Dallas Safari Club.
Right.
And we'll meet a person who kind of has an inkling in the back of his mind, you know, I'm going on that big African hunt or I'm going to the mountains. I probably need to get trained, and he talks to us, and then he's like, nah, I got this. I don't need this. Guaranteed, he's in the booth writing a check the next year because he went on the hunt and blew it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's an eye-opener for people. You know, when I started what I call professionally hunting in 1988 by traveling around the world and hunting, I learned early on that, whoa, I need some help. And I'm prior military, but I still needed help because, you know, being in the military shooting guns and going and climbing the sheep mountains in Alaska is two different things.
Sure.
Training. And through the training cycle, you'll learn what equipment works and what equipment doesn't. The second thing that we often see is people, what we call, trying to haul hay with a Corvette.
Hmm.
And so the guy comes in and he's either way under-equipped or he's way over-equipped. And what I mean by that is he's going to take his lightweight mountain rifle and expect it to be able to shoot out to 1,000 yards. And they just normally will not do that.
Ah. Okay.
So he ends up, you know, with a 6-pound gun, which is a great weight for a light mountain rifle.
Right.
And he's got a, you know, say a whatever scope on it, and he expects that to be able to dial up all the way to 1,000. And most lighter weight hunting scopes will not do that.
No, it's not going to hold up, especially not for second, third shot.
No, you're right, because the thinner barrels, and they're just going to start shifting after the second shot, typically.
Exactly. Yep, exactly right.
And that's okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with a two-shot gun. I have a very, very accurate two-shot gun. I've hunted with one for years, because in the hunting world, I hope you don't ever need more than two shots.
No kidding. At that point, the conditions have changed a lot, yes. So that's a whole different
thing.
And the other thing is, you no longer have to spend $10,000 for the rig that you need.
No. You're right.
I mean, for three to four, I mean, we're talking about $1,000, $1,500 for the rifle and about that for an optic, and you're probably okay.
Right, right.
Amazing.
And the other thing is you know, test your gun for different bullets. So I'm going to leave names out of it, but we've got a client here when I first met him. He was absolutely convinced. He knew what kind of gun he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And before he got here, we asked him not to go ahead and buy it. Please come here and try all of our guns in the loaner pool first to make sure you like the gun you're about to buy or the style gun, you know, the type of action and optics and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And he did, and he regretted it. After about the fifth shot on the range on day one, he thought, dadgummit, I bought the wrong gun. And he did. So, you know, be careful what you're buying. You know, again, don't try to buy something you're going to haul hay with a Corvette. And number two, don't buy a tank when all you needed was a rifle.
There you go.
So,
hey, Tim, I'm about out of time here. I just want to tell people that they want to come see you guys. I would highly recommend it. It's not inexpensive, but it is how you make an expensive hunt pay off, and it goes on for year after year. It is, and besides that, you guys just, your place is great. You have a lot of fun there, man.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. It's FTW Ranch. Check it out. FTW SAAM. FTW SAM. That's the Sportsman's All-Weather and All-Terrain Marksmanship. They will teach you to shoot on game at reasonable distances. It might be 300, might be 500 for you. But by the time you're done, you'll know what your number is. 866-TALK-GUN. Gun Talk will return.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. We hope you enjoyed this reloaded version.
All right, we're back with you here. Tom Gresham, it's 866-TALK-GUN. That'll get you in here. It's called Gun Talk, because we'll talk about pretty much anything that has to do with guns. If you bought a gun in the last couple of years, and you haven't really shot it, you just bought it for self-protection, and you want to know more about it, well, give me a call. We'll talk about it. Tell me your circumstances, what's going on. We'll kind of talk about whether it's for the home, whether you want to carry it in your car, whether you want to carry it on your person. If you're going to carry it on your person, there are a number of things for us to discuss. How are you going to carry it? Where are you going to carry it? How are you going to practice? We were just talking with Tim Fallon from the FTW Ranch. We're talking about practicing. I think a lot of hunters don't practice shooting very much. They sight in their rifles and they think they're good. And they never get off the bench. Sight in from a big old heavy bench, sandbags. By golly, they can shoot little groups. Well, great, that's cool. Now, give me another 100 or 200 rounds out of your rifle at 100 to 300 yards, shooting from a sitting position, shooting from prone, shooting from bipod, shooting, throw down your backpack and rest over your backpack from a prone position. Oh, yeah, and walk 100 yards briskly, I'm not going to try to make you run, with your rifle, and then flop down and make the shot. Not so sure about those first shots always landing where they're supposed to. And that's 100 to 300 yards. 400 or 500 yards, a lot of people don't know how far that is. 400 or 500 yards is a long way out there. And yeah, I know. You're shooting steel and you're doing it and it's not very far and you can do it 100% of the time. Great, cool. Different thing altogether. If you miss the steel, it doesn't really matter. If you cripple or gut shoot or leg shoot an animal, you've done it a horrible disservice and now you have screwed up the deal. And if you're an ethical hunter, now the rest of your hunt, you got to go find this thing, and whatever that involves. Dry fire practice is a huge benefit when you're shooting with a rifle. And you could do it in your home. You could sit there and, you know, have your scope on low power and practice dropping down into a sitting position. Have a little bitty aiming point and work on, you know, snap that. You don't have to have snap caps. You're not going to hurt your rifle dry firing it. Snap it, work the bolt, get back on it again. Drop down into a prone position. Same deal. You know, you could probably, honestly, you could do 100 dry fires to each live round shot, and it would be a pretty decent ratio. It would help you tremendously. And practice shooting standing up, offhand. Yes, it's unlikely you're going to make a shot that way. Most people don't, but you might. And if the animal's at 50 yards... And if you sat down, you would be like in the bushes, and you got to make that shot standing up. Do that. Also, shooting sticks. Now we have the tripod type shooting sticks, like bog pods. Those work really well. But here's a little secret. If you really want to do something interesting, you want to get out there. Because, look, even shooting off of sticks at 300 yards, you're wobbling all over the place. You just are. But not if you have two sets of sticks. Huh? What do you say? Yeah, two sets of sticks, two sets of little tripods, bog pod type sticks, one in the front, one in the back. Huh. So you got one under the forearm and one under the butt of the rifle. You would be stunned how steady you can be like that. It's just amazing. People say, well, do I really want to walk around with all that? I don't know. You got to make the call on that. But once you try it, you might have a new appreciation for it. And this is especially true. Imagine if there's two of you out hunting all the time, and you're hunting together, you and a buddy. Well, you just have two sets of sticks. And whoever's turn it is who gets the shot, you guys have practiced. Both of you getting your sticks out. If you got to shoot standing, you could do it that way. You actually could do it, you know, even sitting. Obviously, if you have a good bipod, you could just get down prone. Shoot from a bipod, but there's a technique to that as well. If you're going to be doing that, you need to, I would offer that you probably should get some instruction in it, but also you need to practice it. So what's involved in that? Oh, having the bipod out and actually pressing forward into the bipod, as the legs actually stick out a little bit forward toward the muzzle from the rifle, rather than just balancing the rifle on the bipod, you're pressing into the bipod with your shoulder, and it becomes a little miniature tripod, the two points on the bipod and your shoulder, as opposed to wobbling forward and backward. You're pressed in and it's not moving. How would you learn this stuff? Well, you'd go take a class, or you'd go try competitive long-range shooting, or you get involved with a long-range shooting club, or just even a rifle shooting club. It is great fun, and of course, as we were talking about earlier, the gear you have today. You know the thing I like about the gear today? A lot of it does not require a Magnum cartridge, a real heavy recoiling cartridge. The 6.5 Creedmoor, that's one of the things that's so good about it. You don't get a lot of recoil, and it does the job. It just wouldn't bother me in the slightest to be shooting a deer or an elk at 400 yards with a Creedmoor with good bullets. Yes, you can shoot them with bigger bullets, certainly. I have. I've always been a fan of the 338 Win Mag, although I don't shoot it much anymore. And it definitely does the job. The big 300 Magnums are amazing if you do your part. But now with the bullets we have, I don't think you need those as much anymore. Anyway, just kind of random thoughts on practice and the idea of dry fire, whether it's a pistol or a shotgun. Oh, did he say dry fire with a shotgun? Yes, I did. Now, for that, you probably need snap caps. Tell you what, when we come back, I'll tell you what to practice. I know you're going to think, that's crazy. Why would you do that? And I'm talking about wing shooting here, right? Dry fire wing shooting practice with your shotgun when we come back here on Gun Talk.
C 6 hours P365, America's number one selling gun, features magazine capacities of 10 plus 1, 12 plus 1, or 15 plus 1, and is available in multiple configurations, including the SAS with integrated bullseye sight, the XL with an extended 3.7-inch barrel, and the XL Romeo Zero with the Romeo Zero Micro Red Dot Sight. The P365 is easy to shoot thanks to an ergonomic design and clean, crisp trigger. Sig Sauer. Never settle.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless, black powder, and black powder substitute propellants, and the leader in reloading data for enthusiasts and newcomers alike through the Reloading Data Center. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
I know you're thinking, he's lost it. He's finally lost it. He's talking about dry firing a shotgun for wing shooting practice, for clay target shooting. Yes, I am. And here's the technique. Here's what it's about. Of course, I really favor, I don't know what's it called, European style or classic style or instinctive shooting, where you mount the gun and shoot all in one fluid movement. So it's called move, mount, shoot. You're moving the barrels of the shotgun to line up with the flight of the bird before you mount the gun to your shoulder. And then the moment the gun hits your shoulder, you pull the trigger. Huh, how's that work? Well, you have to be holding the gun correctly, which means the barrels are out. They're not straight up in the air. They're kind of out, and you're looking over the top of the muzzle, and you're tracking the bird. Let's just say it's a right-to-left bird. You're tracking the bird with the muzzle, and you do not have the gun mounted. It's track, 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 and you're kind of setting it up, and then you just bring the gun up to your shoulder, and when it hits your shoulder, you press the trigger. All one smooth move. Boom. And you keep moving, follow through, follow through, follow through. How could you practice that, dry firing? Well, this is all about practicing the mount, getting the mount right. Especially, you know, I would say probably use snap caps for this. You could put a piece of tape across the wall, but you can actually just use, you know, the roof line in your room, like where the crown molding is or you know, where the ceiling line is. You can track that from right to left, left to right with the muzzle. And then as you bring the gun up and press the trigger, what you want is to make sure that the muzzle doesn't dip down or rise up during the mount. There's a tendency to pull up with your gun hand, the hand that's on the pistol grip of the gun. You pull up with that, and when you do, the muzzles dip down. What you want to do is lift both of them up at the same time and press into your shoulder and press the trigger or slap the trigger, usually for shotgun, and do that while the muzzles are tracking along that line on the wall. And then when you press the trigger, they stay on the wall. So you just do that over and over. Once you do it, you'll say, oh, I see what he's talking about. Because you come up and you yank up with your trigger hand and the muzzles dip down. Or if you got too much of your forearm hand, the muzzles go up. But if you work on this, you'll get to where you can mount that gun and stay on target, and you'll find that you're making hits that you just can't believe, that it really was pretty impressive. So just a thought for you there, just a way for you to check that out. The number here is 866-TALK-GUN. Hey, Jim, do we have anybody on? I think my screen may have frozen up. Okay, good deal. All right. The wonders of technology here. So when it comes to handguns on dry firing, what are you trying to accomplish? Well, basically you want to not disturb the sights when you press the trigger, right? And not disturb them even afterwards. You want to have follow through there. So I get this email while we're doing the show from Dan. He says, I got a new gun with a muzzle velocity of 186,324 miles per second. What? It's a laser. Speed of light. He says, yeah, it's a laser. He says, it's a step up from just dry firing because I can see where I'm hitting. He says, as soon as I started using it, I spotted a problem I was having with follow through. So you want the laser, in this case, to stay on target after it goes click. He says, once I corrected that, my groups came way down. He says it also saves a ton of money. So, yeah, it does that. Let's go talk with Ken in Akron, Ohio, on line three. Hey, Ken, you're on Gun Talk.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
I've been listening to you guys, and I'm thinking you guys are being a little hard on President Biden.
Okay, how's that?
Well, I just got myself a $1,400 check a couple weeks ago, and I was able to buy two new pistols. I think we ought to be thanking him for that.
You got to share now. You got to tell us. What'd you get?
Well, I got a range report for you.
Okay.
I got a Walther PDP compact.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. I like that one. And
that's
then I bought a Taurus G3 Toro.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So have you been able to shoot both of them?
Yes, I have. I spent about $600 and was able to shoot 50 shots through each of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What do you think?
The Walther trigger is amazing. You said something a couple weeks ago about triggers, and you're right. I never knew what a good trigger was until I tried that Walther. Oh, my. On the other hand, the Taurus's trigger is not so great.
Well, but it's a different kind of gun, right?
Absolutely right.
You know, we were out shooting that Walther PDP, two or three weeks ago with a friend of mine who came down. He had bought one, and we were shooting one of we have here. And we passed it around, and everybody who was out there was shooting it came away just saying, that is a really nice pistol. I mean, because you think, okay, it's another polymer pistol, right? It's another polymer pistol. Big deal.
Yeah.
But they're just, you know what it is? They're all getting better. You know, and as they design a new one, engineers can go in there and make it better. They design them better. The trigger's better. And I love what you said, and I keep telling this to people, you don't know what a good trigger is until you try a good trigger. And then you go, holy cow, I had no idea what I was missing out on.
Yes, indeed. I hope Timney comes out with a G3 trigger so I can replace it.
Well, you know, they hadn't made pistol triggers, and then they came out with Glock triggers. So now you can get Timney triggers for your Glock, which is a big deal. What I don't know, and I have not talked to them about this, is if they're going to expand that. You kind of would think they probably would expand that to other handgun brands. You know, and if you're a trigger maker, I mean, this is what you and I would do. We would say, okay, who makes the most pistols? Those are the ones we're going to make triggers for because that's going to be the biggest market. So you start with Glock, and maybe you go, I don't know, if you go to Smith & Wesson or Ruger or something. Probably not. Well, certainly don't even need it on the PDP. I don't think that needs an aftermarket trigger, do you?
No, I love that trigger.
Well, now, what did you get them for? Is it home defense, or are you going to carry them? What are you going to do?
I hadn't bought a Walther or a Taurus before, so I thought it was time to buy one.
I like the way you think. See, I don't have one of those. I'm going to go get one. That'll work.
Buy it now while I'm still allowed to have it. So.
Well, there's that, too. There is certainly that, too. So, well, that is great. A great range report, and I'm glad you're using your government money in a good way. So that is terrific. Now it's a case of just shopping for ammo.
Exactly. Nancy would be unhappy with me because every stimulus check I got, I bought a firearm with it.
Perfect. You're our hero. Thanks for the call, Ken. I appreciate that. Hey, Greg, don't go anywhere. We're going to get to you in just a second here. We will have that. He's actually got a great range report for us. We're talking about shooting sticks. We'll talk a little bit about that. If you have been shooting something, we would love for you to share that experience with us. If you have been out shooting with others, friends, family, or maybe even introduce somebody to the sport, those are great range reports. I love to hear that, how you go about it. What gun would you use to start somebody out with? You say, I'm going to take you to the range. You've never shot before. What do you like to start out beginners with? The number here is 866-TALK-GUN, or just call me at Tom Talk Gun. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back. Let's talk about the No Compromise All or Nothing groups out there. I get this email from a listener who says, I spent some years in the car business. The most successful car dealership I worked for had a policy of selling cars by a hierarchy of making deals. First was get all the money. Then, if that didn't work, get most of the money. If that didn't work, get some of the money. If that didn't work, take the deal. They'll come back and allow us to get more. That's what I'm talking about. We take what we can get now, and then we come back and get more later. And over the last 25, 30 years, we've had concealed carry permits, which a lot of people said, we don't want to ask permission. And yet now, we're getting constitutional carry. 20 states and growing would not have had that if we'd insisted on all or nothing way back then. 866-TALK-GUN. Greg called in from North Carolina. Shooting Sticks, Greg, what are you doing here?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
You were talking about Shooting Sticks, and There's a company, African Sporting Creations, that has shooting sticks originally designed to be used in Africa hunting plains game, so you had something to rest your rifle on.
Right.
And they've actually come out with exactly what you described, a bipod that also has two hinges with another set of sticks that come down towards you. So you can rest the front part of your stock in the bipod, and then the folding part that comes down towards you rests the back part of your stock. So you actually have two points of contact on your gun with a single set of shooting sticks.
Oh, I see that. I'm looking at their website now. It's called African Sporting Creations. They call it the Fly's Eye Shooting Sticks. Huh.
Yes, sir. That's the one I'm referring to.
That is slick.
And you notice that they, yes, sir, they also have them so that you can take them down. You know, there's like aircraft aluminum connectors that Unscrew the full length down so you can actually stick them in something the size of your gun bag to take with you. So it's not like you have something that's 5.5-6 feet long that's difficult to transport.
Right. You break it down, you can put it in your backpack when you're out hunting and pull it out when you got the shot and get all set up and take the shot.
Yes, sir.
Have you used those?
I just thought, oh yes, I have used them.
How's it work?
Very, very stable. It is amazing how stable that gun is when you're using that Fly's Eye shooting stick.
I'll be darned. But just what I was talking about.
It's hard to describe how stable it is.
You actually got to
set and try them.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got to try it. Get another set of, you know, shooting sticks, one in front and one in back, and see what happens. Because, you know, you think, well, the shooting sticks work pretty well. Actually, if you shot much off of them, and look, I appreciate the call. Thank you, Greg. I didn't know about that. If you've shot much off of shooting sticks, you know that they kind of wobble. You don't want them to be just balanced up there. You want to kind of, if you just have the two legs, you don't have a tripod, it's good to kind of angle them in front of you and press into them so you're pressing forward. But when you put another set of sticks underneath the butt, the stock of the gun, it may not quite be a bench rest, but holy cow, what a difference. It's like light bulbs are going on. You're going, oh, yeah, this is the thing. And your confidence goes up. And when your confidence goes up, you're going to make better shots. When you think, I've got this, I can do this, you're simply going to concentrate on making the shot. You're going to get the crosshairs where they need to be. You're going to press the trigger. You're not going to jerk it because you know you've got this. And when you practice enough, that's a great feeling. You can go out there, and I've done it, where you say, if I see him within a reasonable range, I can get him. It's just not even a question. I know I can because I practice enough. It's a great, great feeling. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk to you about a gun that's going up for auction. It's possible. It may end up being the most expensive gun ever sold at auction. And it is a huge, huge historical piece. This is a very cool deal. 866-TALK-GUN. Right back with more gun talk.